Thank you for joining us at UInc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. And when we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brands. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful to lend a hand today, and some you will donate to contribute to the wellness of others. This week's tool is contribution, and we are doing yet another installment in our two-month journey across the globe, meeting folks from deserts to glam art festivals to RVs to road races for UInc live show recordings. Today's show was recorded at a Burning Man regional event, Lakes of Fire, at the scenic and pristine Lucky Lake Campgrounds, teeming with mini amphibians and participants alike on a circular trek around the lake. We chat with Burning Man organization member Heyu Kelly, who spends his life dedicating himself to Burners Without Borders and funding artists on their treks to regional events like this one, located all over the world, in South Africa, even right here in Ohio. And Heyu is himself a contribution to humanity and demonstrates how vital it is for our personal brands in life and in business to have meaning via their selfless contributions. Right before I sat down with Heyu and we started recording, Heyu and I hauled thousands of cans from the recycling bins from the can sites to a local store and recycled them one by one in order to receive the modest payout of 5 cents per can in order to add these monies to the artist scholarship funds that Heyu provides. Of course, he could just fundraise, crowdfund, just write a check. But in his relentless pursuit of contribution, this single-handed recycling effort by one man also helps the event organizers not have to haul all the recyclables away and, of course, contributes to the planet by reusing resources. Let's take a listen in. And if you want to see the live video feed, check us out at tworogues.com for all our socials and YouTube channels, and right here also on your local NPR station, WCB.org, for our contribution to this week's UInc. Heyu Kelly and his group of artists strewn about the country calling themselves Ski Patrol are an illustrious group of multiple Burning Man Honorarium awardees. Examples of his work are elaborately hand-embroidered patches found at what is called the trash fence or the edges of the Burning Man event borders in the middle of nowhere in the Nevada desert, or his historical plaques strewn about the city that comes alive 1 week a year called Black Rock City, mocking the furor of those who work with the Burning Man organization with embossments saying, "On this day in 1992, someone from the Department of Work said, have a nice day." This year, Heyu is working on a Risk It to Win It installation where a series of mouse traps await the individual daring enough to stick their hands into sockets for treasure if they get lucky. I found Heyu at a Burning Man regional event, sitting fireside at the wee hours, and we made a plan to go recycle some cans in town. Mr. Kelly is the epitome of making contribution to enrich the lives of others, and today he is contributing to UInc Live from Lucky Lakes Campground for the regional Burning Man event, Lakes of Fire. Hello there.
Hi there.
May I call you Heyu? Because that's how you got your name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I found your patch the first year, and then I wrote about you in the Beacon, and then I stumbled upon you last night. Is that how you got your name, Heyu? People just are always running into you?
Well, I think I told you that I had never heard of Burning Man, and I was on the Google, and I saw these images, and I'm like, what is this? Where is this? Mm-hmm. When is this? I'm going. And back then, you could just go online and buy a ticket.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now there's something like 250,000 people trying to get 70,000 tickets.
Right.
So I went there by myself in my little smart car without knowing a soul. Just realized this is something I had to do. So in Gerlach, which is the city next to, you know, it's about 70 miles away or 50 miles away, I was filling up with gas, and I asked somebody who obviously was a burner, how far away am I, you know, what are the directions, what, you know, and he said, well, come and join us, camp with us, just follow me. So I followed him, and I camped with this camp for the first time, and they were really welcoming. But the problem was, I didn't know them, and they didn't know me. It was about 40 people in the camp. So consequently, when they needed me to help grunt or something, they'd say, hey, you. And so that became my burner name, I guess.
And oh, so that was your playa name?
Yeah, that's how it started.
Okay.
Because you don't get to name yourself on playa, other people name. So my first burner, it was finding my people and realizing that this is good. Mm-hmm. This is very good. Mm-hmm. And when I went back to Chicago, I thought I was the only burner from Chicago. And so one day I saw Filimangiaro's car with the BRC sticker on it, which stands for Black Rock City. I stopped him and found out that there was actually a community of about 2,000 people that go to Burning Man or have been in Chicago. So then I got more and more involved in it and eventually became a regional contact for Chicago metro area. And I realized that at this point there's over 65 burns worldwide. And I have too much free time, and probably the best way to spend it is at a burn.
And to contribute. So that's right. so that's part of your life mission is to contribute to these because you...
Well, see, that's the difference between an event. I consider Burning Man an event versus a festival.
Right.
An event is something that's self-created. And a festival is something that you watch, you know, so we entertain ourselves rather than pay to have somebody else entertain us.
And that's because everyone's contributing.
Right, right.
Okay. And then so you also then, it's the Burning Man contributed your current name. I mean, it's your legal name now, Heyu.
Right. Because there are 65 burns around the world, I've been to most of them. And they include places like Australia, New Zealand, Spain, Israel, South Africa, Denmark, Wales, all over Canada. And so I travel to different burns, and the States has a whole bunch of them too. Austin, Texas has a burn called Flipside, which is one of the better ones. And also Salt Lake City one has Element 11, which is salt, sodium. Yeah.
Right. And so when we were talking, we were driving to go recycle the cans, which one of your contributions here at Burning Man, a regional event, Lakes of Fire, is that you do the recycling. You collect all the recycling cans. And on our way there, you were also telling me about the Burner Exchange Program. And it just seems like you do endless contributions. What's the impetus behind wanting to do all these contributions all the time?
I don't know. People should be happy. People should be challenged. The exchange program in particular is really about experience. And the more you travel, the more you experience life, you know. And a lot of people that work here basically are hippies and don't have any money and can't afford a $2,000 plane ticket. So what we do is we sponsor based on their art, and they go, we match them up with a theme camp in Africa, and they get on a meal plan in Africa. And all the heavy lifting is done there. So they don't have to bring a tent or, or a sleeping bag or coolers or, you know, any of the big stuff that are killer on an airplane.
So, I mean, you keep doing these contributions. And I guess the question is, and I think a lot of people also have this question, do you feel that these contributions to society, do you really think they make a difference?
And an example is Duncan Larkin, who was a recipient about 4 years ago from South Africa to this program. And so he came to Lakes on Fire, and he, of course, it's our people, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so he stayed, he went to the big burn, and then he came back a year or two later, and he ended up meeting a woman in California and marrying her. And that's a life-changing experience. And more people should enjoy that sort of thing.
But life-changing, you know, getting married, I guess what I'm asking is for people who are considering whether they should contribute or not, you know, what can they contribute? Maybe they feel like it's not going to really make a difference. So what do you think your contributions have in terms of an impact in society, other than just some guy getting married? Not like that's minimal, but still.
Travel, at least one person a year gets to go and see how it's done in South Africa.
So like getting someone else to be a part of the principles, is that basically
To experience, to really experience, not all burns the same, everyone is different. Africa, it's also a desert, red clay, but other places like kiwi burn, it's a cow pasture, and then they have a forest, and then they have a river running through it. Burn in the forest in Vancouver is the same thing. It's like on a riverbed.
Right.
And so you don't need to bring a cooler. The water's so cold.
You just put your beer in there.
And you burn wherever you can.
Right.
You know?
So I guess what I'm saying is, so you're explaining how your burner exchange program has an impact on people's lives in general, and then, you know, maybe that ripple effect kind of thing.
I think just being part of the Burning Man community changes people's lives.
Right.
They get hip to the fact that if I don't do it, nobody else will. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to work as a ranger or work at gate or whatever. And that's part of being a burner.
Right.
When everybody gives something, great things can happen.
Right, sure. And clearly, I mean, from all the burning events that you've been to, some of them that I've seen and experienced, I mean, clearly that's the case. But what about outside of the whole burner experience?
Okay. If everybody gives a little bit, a lot can happen.
Okay, so you do think that your contributions towards getting people exposed do have an impact towards society?
I suppose. Oh, and what I was going to say was that people, burners, refer to the outside as the default world. And for some people, they only go to the big burn, and so it's more of a vacation in a sense than it is a lifestyle. I don't believe in the world, default world. I believe you make the world, you create the world you want to live in.
Okay.
So it has more to do with my own happiness and satisfaction that I'm doing what I want to do with my life.
But that also, I guess, the contribution there would be that it gives other people the example that you also can make life the way you want to, and contributing towards what you want to see is you can make, you can create and make happen.
If this is what you want to see, make it.
Right.
Don't talk about it, make it.
Right. And so how about your art? What contributions do you think your art has towards impacting people? Because you're a prolific artist, you have your BFA, MFA for a very long time. You're a sculptor by training.
I owned a gallery for about 9 years in Chicago that was showing installational, temporal, and conceptual art. You know, part of the Burning Man experience is that we're there, 70,000 people in the desert for a week, and we leave. There's not a trace that we were ever there. So it's not necessarily. The duration of a piece of art has nothing to do with the experience of a piece of art.
Gotcha.
And most of the pieces we do, we ask not to be in the catalog because we feel that discovery is part of experience in the art.
Right. I think what you're saying, that your contribution isn't necessarily anything we can see, because it creates experiences which changes people.
But it's also self-serving because I'm enjoying my life.
Right. And that's the best example, I think, that you can give anyone.
Right. And I think when I became a regional contact for Burning Man, one of the big points of mine is you lead by example.
Right.
You don't, you know, in theory, Burning Man is a bottom-up type organization. So it's not top-down, it's not, and it's everybody brings something.
Right. Okay, so in an article that I wrote about you and your plaque project for the Black Wreck Beacon, you had said to me in the interview, "We at Ski Patrol find that discovery, what you had been alluding to earlier, adds to the art experience." Can you tell us a little bit more about how discovery contributes to the art experience exactly? What is it about that discovery?
First of all, there is an honorarium thing at Burning Man, and it's really related to the theme. And what happens is that you get publication and you get the art tour, which is kind of an official tour of the art. So I want mine to be, you know, every year I go to the Trash Fence, which is the boundary of Black Rock City.
Okay.
And I think that there's a lot of really good art that's way out there.
Yeah.
And people don't get to see it.
Right. I mean, I was elated when I found your, I was so excited when I found your patches.
you know, burning is different things to different people. Mm-hmm. Burners don't tell burners how to burn.
Right.
But 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock are the concentration of the sound camps.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, their burn ends at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock.
Right, right.
And they don't go exploring the whole...
I don't get that, right.
You know, but, and it's about, you know, sculpture.
So what does Discovery add to the art experience? What's the contribution that Discovery makes?
In terms of you feel more engaged and more participating in the project than just like going to a museum. It's typically at a museum, people spend 5 seconds per painting. And we want to capture their attention for a little longer
than
that.
Right. And then maybe that Discovery allows for a more of a organic experience, and that that's the, it has a greater impact in terms of a contribution towards how people experience that art.
Perhaps, or perhaps. inspires them to, you know, if this jerk can do this, I can do it better, you know?
Okay. In the same article, you had said, art at Black Rock City should be a gift, not about self-promotion.
Right.
So does it diminish the contribution when one is seeking out attribution? So does it diminish, like, is a contribution diminished when someone is seeking out attribution? And the reason why I ask for that is for the artists who are currently listening out there, or artists who want or want to be artists, how are they supposed to make a living if they don't make a name for themselves?
Well, I don't think that art and making a living are necessarily compatible. I think some people are, you know, you look at Lieberman, he, then the money he has is amazing, you know, and had from his family. And when I was, I always tried to separate the act of making money versus the act of making art. And some people get confused and think that, you know, they, well, they try to make a living on their art. And especially at Black Rock City, it tends to cheapen the art if they have a sign there with their email address and their phone number, and you know, and are using it for an opportunity to promote their art, and hopefully get new commissions.
So you're saying it does diminish it if we do try to make sure we get attribution?
Well, the other thing is there's a place for everything. You know, if you're a good artist, go to New York, show the work there. Show the work in Chicago. You know, there's a art gallery. There's plenty of art galleries.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and
go to a place where it's clear that that's what you're doing.
That's right.
Okay.
And if your work is good enough, you'll be, you know, carried by that gallery.
Right. You know, and it's interesting that you said that an artist really should know from the get that you don't be doing this for the money, because that's, you know, very few actually. You're doing it out of love.
And
you're rich in that way, that you're doing something that you love and not to worry about the money, because that's only one kind of richness.
Well, the thing is, I've never been as busy since I retired. And I'm always working on some kind of project or scheming or whatever.
So you even doing the contribution, like preparing the contribution, is a reward in and of itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think for people who are contemplating being a contributing member of society, they should realize it's really rewarding.
Well, here's the thing. Art is about the process. What we do is when we make things and burn it, and it's the making of it that's important.
Yeah.
The lifespan of the piece is not important.
Right.
Because if we're going to grow as artists, we need to move forward. We can't do the same thing over and over again, because then basically you're a shoe salesman.
You know?
You find out what's successful and you keep doing it.
Right.
Versus doing things that are challenging, or you figuring out how to do something, LED lights, computers, whatever.
Right. So contributing for the experience, not for the posterity.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But, you know, it enriches yourself to do it, and enriches other people's lives to observe it.
And that's the contribution. Okay, so this year's art installation, we were chatting a little bit about it, that you're doing at Burning Man, the big burn, as you call it, is about folks contributing their initiative towards finding various treasures hidden in compartments, yet they run the risk of getting hurt. Is this a metaphor that contributing to life presents its own risks? So let me stop at that one. Is that a metaphor?
Well, what it really is asking for participation. You know, there'll be 10,000 patches, and if you want a patch, you have to risk going through 3,100 mousetraps.
Right. So I guess if you really want the reward in life, you have to participate and you have to contribute in that way.
You have to experience a piece. You know, a lot of sculpture is situational, or it creates an environment that is unique.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of the point.
Right.
Is you take people out of the desert, out of the walls, and into some place they've never been before.
Right, right. But speaking of it as a metaphor, though, I mean, if you want to get the rewards in life, you have to contribute, you have to participate otherwise. But I want to think about it from the other ends, like, especially these days, we and I also talked about this, people don't really have the desire to own a car or own a house and that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe people feel as if, you know, why do I have to seek ambition? Why do I need to contribute? Can't I just like live in my little corner and just be content?
Yeah, you can live in your corner, but that's not much of a life.
Right.
Life is about experiences and creativity and community, actively
right.
participating.
So to be fully alive, you have to contribute.
Right. One of the best pieces I did in New Zealand, and it was not my piece. There were five people involved in it, and everybody had a contribution. You know, it was a huge, like, mosquito. And somebody said, hey, let's use this for the eyes.
Nice.
And, you know, and it was really a lot of fun doing a collaboration,
mm-hmm.
more than me playing the artiste.
Right.
And other people being my servants,
right.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or assistance.
And I think that's the thing that people miss, is that when you contribute, when you participate, that's really living, that's really being alive. You know, and I had mentioned to you, and this is not, you know, counter to anyone in the particular establishment that we went to, but, you know, we just see people just leading these vapid existences of just materialism, and they're really not contributing, and I don't think that they're happy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't be happier
right.
with my life,
right.
you know. I feel... I'm doing what I want to do,
right.
and I'm not wasting my life. You
right.
know? So many people. The one of my projects that I've done is I travel a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's becoming a little bit more difficult, but this project. it says I have a button, and what I do is when I'm in airports, I leave them in the coin return.
Oh, nice.
For people to discover, to find.
That's cute.
Now, for most people, the biggest drama or whatever is from watching some sitcom or some television program. And here, they now have a story to tell at
right.
dinner time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I stuck my finger in it and out came this
yeah,
button.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a magical
so,
moment.
Because more airports are going, or phone booths are going to plastic.
Yeah.
There's a diminishing amount of coin returns.
Uh-huh.
So what I've done is I've gotten a roll of shiny new dimes, and I put them in a coin envelope, and then I go into the bathroom and I unroll the toilet paper, then I put the envelope in and roll it back up. So at some point, somebody's going to pull on the toilet paper and this envelope is going to fall out. And you know, what is this? Is this anthrax? Is it some
right,
kind
of... Wait, I was saying, one day TSA is going to be all over that.
Is it drugs? what is it? And for your curiosity, you open it up and you get a shiny new dime.
That's very cute. So what are you contributing to this regional burn other than this recycling project that we talked about? And if it's just that, can you tell us more about what you're doing with this recycling?
Mostly right before I came here in Chicago, you can only sell cans of scrap metal. So last week I turned in 260 pounds of crushed cans. First of all, it's less landfill.
Right.
And just recycling makes sense.
So that's your contribution here? You're doing the recycling project?
I think so. And also art, if I can get away with it.
that's you?
Yeah.
What is that? Tell me what it is.
It's a ranger, a mock ranger, complete with a kilt and a clipboard.
Yeah, because they do wear kilts. I do see them wearing those
right.
a lot. Yeah, that's right.
And a radio,
Where's
too.
The hat?
I'm waiting on the hat.
Oh,
Rocket,
are you?
Rocket
oh, yeah.
has a spare one that he's going to contribute.
Nice. So for people who are now getting inspired by what you're talking about and do want to contribute, what is maybe a pro tip that you have towards like their first foray into doing that?
I don't know. Maybe helping somebody else on another project. You know, there's a whole thing about gifting at Burning Man. Well, gifting doesn't mean you have to give away little trinkets,
right.
You know, and some of this stuff is the goofiest stuff around.
Yeah.
You know, one day I got a seashell with a drawing in it, you know. So half the stuff that you get, you say, oh, okay, I'll throw that out for you.
You know? Right. So you're saying maybe just signing up to be a part of someone else's build?
Yeah, or signing up to help somebody get ice or to set up a tent or, you know, there's it doesn't have to be a monetary or physical contribution.
Uh-huh. What about in their lives outside of the burner world? How can people, what's a great way for people to get started with contributions?
Well, get an idea and follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Don't talk about it. Do it, you know.
Just forge forward and do it. Like you did when you thought about, I saw this Burning Man thing, you packed up your car and you drove across the country.
Basically, yeah.
Basically, yeah. Nice. So what other contributions can people hope to find from Hey You Kelly? What's in the works for Hey You Kelly?
Well, at my reserve, I got a piece of land in downtown Chicago. We did decomp there this year.
That's a decompression.
And then declared it a commerce-free zone so that no money ever changes hands there. And it's really just dirt. And so I've had 6 weddings or something like that for free, which in Chicago to get a venue for a night is about $10,000.
Yeah, yeah, at least, yeah.
And so young people starting out don't have that kind of money.
Right, right. So you give them this beautiful experience. So that's something that you're doing ongoing.
Right.
And do you have, other than the one project that we talked about for Burning Man, any other projects that you have coming up? Like any other art projects you have coming up that you're going to be contributing?
Well, I'm not sure. This project here, this mock ranger,
It needs some work. Okay, I've seen better work from you, Heyu.
Well, the thing is, there's supposed to be a limit of 4 feet. Okay. And it's actually about 7 feet.
Are you going to burn it?
So I don't, it's up to FAST to... which is the fire safety team, to decide whether or not I'm going to burn it here. But if I don't burn it here, I'll take it back to the Chicago, and I'll have an unofficial decomp celebration of summer and tribute to Larry Harvey, who died.
Oh, that's right.
About a year ago, about a month ago.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying for the Temple Burn, too, because I want to be there to honor his contributions. Yeah.
I'm going to have to make another one for
nice.
For that next Saturday.
Nice.
You know?
Well, thank you, Heyu Kelly, for your contributions to Burning Man and to society and, you know, getting artists around the world and, you know, helping undo the landfills. The list is endless, but most of all, thank you for contributing to UInc today.
Why, shucks. that's part of that's your dues. That's paying your dues.
That's true.
You know?
Thank you.
All right.
A word from our person on the street. So, Bernstein, what are your thoughts on contribution?
Giving to the less fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure my mother has a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
So, how are you? What are you doing for your mom this year?
Well, I'm going to make sure she stays warm and have a good warm blanket and eat good over the holidays. How about that?
I couldn't ask for anything more. Thank you so much, Bernstein, for your time and contributing to UInc.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to UInc on 90.5 WCBE.